Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you. A little bit different afternoon show for us here today. We are live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Once a year, we leave the state of Utah. We travel to Vegas and we bring you a live show from Las Vegas as we gear up for the Cobalt 400, which you will be able to listen to here live on Sunday beginning at 12:30 p.m. We got a great show lined up for you. I'm really excited to bring it to you. We're going to talk NASCAR and college hoops because that's what the big story is right now in Las Vegas. We have the Pac-12 tournament. It's off and rolling. We're down to the final day, actually, final 2 days of the Pac-12 tournament. We're down to four teams, Oregon taking on Cal, and then we get UCLA and Arizona. We'll talk some college hoops for you in just a bit. Also on the show, you're going to hear from a couple of NASCAR drivers. We talked to Bubba Wallace. Earlier today, I was able to stop by his hauler, got to go and sit down and have a one-on-one with Bubba Wallace, who drives the number 6 for Roush Fenway on the Xfinity Series. Very fun interview. Bubba Wallace also is going to voice Bubba Wheelhouse in the upcoming Disney Cars 3 flick. I'm a big Disney guy, so it was fun to sit down with Bubba Wallace. That was a little bit earlier today. I had a one-on-one with him, so we'll play you that interview. Joining us live over the phone coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk to Greg Peterson. He works for 102.9 and 750 The Game out of Portland, Oregon, covers the Pac-12 in depth. Of course, we're going to talk some Oregon, UCLA, Cal, and Arizona hoops. And then we're going to be joined live on the air by David Reagan. He drives the number 38 Ford Fusion for Front Row Motorsports. He'll be participating in the Monster Energy Cup race, the Cobalt 400, this Sunday. So we got a great live Drive Time Sports from Las Vegas coming up in just a moment. We're going to break for just a second. We'll set it back to the studio, give you the local sports update, and then we'll dive into our interview earlier today with Bubba Wallace here on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. It's Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 7:50 a.m. KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live on location at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We do this once a year as we gear up for the Cobalt 400, which will air right here on KOAL Sunday at 12:30 PM. Now, earlier today, I had the pleasure of catching up with Bubba Wallace. He drives the number 6 Ford Mustang for Roush Fenway Racing. And for you Disney fans out there, he'll be the voice of Bubba Wheelhouse in the upcoming Cars 3 flick, which is coming out right around the corner, actually. So earlier today, I was able to catch up with Bubba in his hauler at the Xfinity Garage. Again, he'll be racing tomorrow in the 21st Annual Boyd Gaming 300. Here's our interview earlier today with Bubba Wallace. Bubba, first off, I really appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the season so far for you. I mean, you had a nice bounce-back race in Atlanta, top 6 finish. All in all, what was the big difference for you between the first two races? I mean, when you look at things in the grand scheme.
You just throw Daytona out. You know, it's a crazy race in itself. So we were kind of minding our own business. Had a really good car. But just one of those deals where you get caught up in somebody else's mess, and that took us out of contention. So usually we say our season starts in Atlanta, and we unloaded somewhat decent, but throughout the race, man, the race did not go our way at all, and all of a sudden things started clicking for us. You know, no mistakes on pit road, had really great pit stops, and that gave us track position. We were able to capitalize on restarts. Atlanta's probably the hardest place to restart just because it's so worn out, and I got in the right line every time. and we were able to advance like three or four spots on a on the racetrack, so that was nice, and we were able to come home six, so we got some confidence and momentum coming in here in Vegas.
You had to deal with a lot of loose handling in that race as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that's part of Atlanta, and that's what makes it fun and exciting and puts it in the driver's hands, is when you're driving the race car, slipping and sliding, so I really hope they can reconsider paving it.
You talked about just getting rid of Daytona, just throwing it out. How difficult is that from a driver's perspective?
I mean, really, you've been in the game so long, been in the sport so long, that you get used to having those bad finishes and get used to throwing those away and not focusing in on those bad finishes. I mean, if at the end of the day, if it was a bad finish because of your fault, then okay, then you need to sit down and figure out, you know, how can we be better going back. But when you're just kind of riding along, next thing you know, you're looking at the infield care center, then that's nothing you can do there. So it's just part of the game.
Let's talk about Las Vegas, three starts. I mean, what do you know about this track? What stands out to you about this track?
How smooth it is, really. It's starting to weather a little bit, starting to get a little bit of bumps, but, man, it's really fast, really smooth. So it'll be interesting to see how this new downforce package is and the new tire we got going. So I'm excited about it. We were really fast here last year. Our Lidos team brought a really good car last year. So looking to back that up, we're kind of just this place is – it's really one bad thing is like what you have at the shop and you bring here is kind of what you got. It's not like you're going to revamp your whole setup. So it's just kind of that smooth, and it's not really like Atlanta where you can change everything and change up the whole feel. So so unload here in the ballpark and just fine tune it. It's what you really want to do. Find a little bit of center turn and make sure you have a good long run car.
Talk about not being able to fine tune things as much. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage? And if so, in which way?
A little bit of both. I mean, you got to have your stuff ready, you know, beforehand. But then it's not really in the driver's hands. You know, you just kind of go out there. You know, last year we were wide open for a handful of laps, and you're just kind of driving the racetrack. Car will fall off a little bit. You know, you're doing a little bit of throttle management, but it's still not one of those driver tracks. But it's still a lot of fun to come to. I mean, we are in Vegas for one. You get to enjoy all the sights and fun stuff. But just take it one race at a time, focus in on what we need to do. We had a good baseline set up for what we need. We just need to keep improving on it.
Talk about being in Vegas, a lot of things for you to do. I mean, what's the week look like for Bubba Wallace when you pull into Vegas?
Yeah, this week was interesting. Flew in Wednesday night. had a Coca-Cola appearance Thursday morning, and then follow that up with some Whistle Sports. We did some stuff on the Stratosphere with Brody Smith, the Frisbee legend. Ryan Blaney and myself joined him up there. We were doing some like trivia questions while riding the roller coaster, so that was pretty fun. So that was enough fun. Now the race weekend starts. You know, we're here Friday morning, Friday afternoon. A little late start to our weekends. We're usually on track. We're usually pretty much done at this time back on the East Coast with practice. But now we got two practices coming up and then qualifying race tomorrow. So this is what you get used to, is those 2-3 day weekends, get in, get out, get the win, and go home.
I got to talk to you about a couple of things outside of racing. Mm-hmm. First off, I'm a big Disney guy. Love Disney. Mm-hmm. You get to voice Bubba Wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Bubba Wheelhouse. Talk to me a little bit about your character in Cars 3.
Yeah, he's it's just one of those young guns coming up through, and it kind of replicates what real life NASCAR is about. Got the younger generation coming up through, trying to take over the older veterans, trying to take their spots and get in the spotlight. So it's kind of the same thing in the movie. I had a couple lines that were never felt awkward until I was in a recording studio doing my lines for that movie. Just totally dead quiet, producers feeding you lines, and it's like you got to show emotion. It's not like we're just sitting here talking, you know, it's doing these grunt noises and everything. So it'll be exciting to see. I'm pumped, man. I mean, Cars was still one of my favorite movies, and I think what's really fun about it is I have a 3-year-old nephew, and he's just now, you know, starting to get in the movies and stuff, so I need to sit down with him, show him Cars 1, Cars 2, and then get him ready for Cars 3 when it comes out.
You better take him to Disneyland and Cars Land. You got to go hit that up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I hadn't even been to Disney World before, so I need to get on that.
Let's talk a little bit about your foundation that you lead, Live to Be Different. Talk a little bit about some of the great things that you're doing outside of racing with that particular organization.
Yeah, I'm excited about our foundation starting up. The Live to Be Different Foundation is something that, you know, I strive for. And, you know, with being in this sport, I'm already different, you know, different set of eyes looking at me, and it's just part of it, and I've come to accept it. You know, growing up, ever since I started racing, I was always different, and that's what the foundation kind of embodies. You know, we're looking to, we haven't gotten direct contact with a certain charity yet, but it shouldn't have any boundaries on your life, no matter skin color, you know, age, disabilities, nothing like that. You know, we are, you know, we're there to lend out a helping hand to anybody that's willing to accept it. So that's been a lot of fun trying to figure that out and get that all set up and get going. And then also our scholarship program, which was really, really successful. And we just launched that a couple weeks ago with my alma mater at Northwest Cabarrus High School. So there's a lot of good things going off the track that, you know, I keep talking about and keep getting some wheels on it to keep getting it out there and help us out, help our brand out.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about some of these things, regardless what an athlete believes, they are role models in my eyes. I mean, if they should be or shouldn't be, kids look up to you guys as role models. So what do you tell a kid who comes up to Bubba Wallace and says, one of these days I want to be just like you? What do you tell a kid like that?
try to do better than me. That's for one. You gotta accept defeat at an early age. Cause this is the sport where you win a championship, but you lose more than you win, and you still win that championship. So the good guys will win 3 to 4 races and win a championship. So out of 33 races that we have, that's a pretty horrible win to lose ratio, and you still win a championship. Right. So you gotta accept finishing second, finishing 20th, you know, last. You gotta be able to accept that and use that as motivation and fuel to go on to the next week and do better.
Last question before I let you go. What's the main point of emphasis leading into the race tomorrow for you guys?
Just keep digging our way out of that hole we got put in at Daytona. Just have another smooth race. Well, we didn't really have a smooth race at Atlanta, but have a smooth race here. No mistakes again. Capitalize on track position. Capitalize on things that are right there in front of us that we can capitalize on. And just keep a cool head. Keep positive. Stay focused, and we'll come out with a good race.
I think the way 2016 ended, I mean, that's a positive note, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we had some speed built up there at the end of the season. We needed it, and we got a little bit more speed this year. So, you know, Roush is on the upswing, so we'll get our Lidos Ford Mustang out there in practice, and we'll go see what we got.
Bubba, I really appreciate you taking out some time. Best of luck this weekend. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Cool. Thanks, man. You too.
Again, that's Bubba Wallace. Earlier today, we caught up with him at the Xfinity Garage here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway as we gear up for the Cobalt 400 on Sunday. And, of course, tomorrow, the 21st annual Boyd Gaming 300. We're going to break for just a moment. We have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. When we return, we're going to move over to college basketball. I mean, we're in Las Vegas for NASCAR, but not too far away. We have the Pac-12 Championship Tournament. Now, the Utah Utes were eliminated last night, but we are down to the Final Four. The UCLA Bruins and the Oregon Ducks. It's a matchup that I'm kind of crossing my fingers for. Those two have had some epic showdowns so far this season. We're going to catch up with Greg Peterson of 102.9 and 750 The Game out of Portland, Oregon. Great friend of mine who joins us regularly on the show to talk college hoops. And since we're in Vegas for the NASCAR and Pac-12 tournament, we got to talk college basketball. It's coming up next here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Also streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Yes, outside of the KOAL newsroom and in Media Room 7 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We'll move over from NASCAR racing here for just a moment because the other big event right now in Las Vegas is the Pac-12 Championship Tournament. We're down to the Final Four in this conference. However, the Utah Utes basketball season coming to an end yesterday, they suffered a 78-75 loss to Cal. Two phenomenal matchups still to come in the Pac-12 tournament. Tonight, UCLA takes on Arizona and also Oregon and Cal. Joining us to talk a bit about that, we have a great friend of mine, great friend of the show. He is Greg Peterson, works with 102.9 The Game out of Portland, and he also does bracketology for Dudes on Sports talking college hoops. Greg, as always, a pleasure to get you back on. Thank you.
Happy to be on with you, Jordan. Thank you.
Greg, I want to start by talking about the Pac-12 championship tournament. We get down to the final four teams. I don't think there's any surprises here, although people in Utah obviously sad about the Utah Utes coming up short yesterday against Cal 78-75, but we're down to Oregon, Cal, UCLA, and Arizona. Any surprises in your eyes?
No, not really. I mean, Utah was the number four overall seed, but if you look in regards to ratings percent index, which all of us bracket nerds look at, Cal was the better team coming into the tournament, so no real surprises in the Pac-12 tournament thus far, other than, I guess you could say, the first round with some upsets happening there with the likes of Washington winning a game, things like that, but everything seems to have balanced itself out.
Start by talking about UCLA as far as the Pac-12 tournament goes. This is a team that really, I don't know what to make of them. Offensively, yes, they're fantastic. You're going to find them in the top five pretty much in every offensive statistical category that has any sort of bearing on a contest, and I call that the Lonzo Ball effect. Outside of that, though, Greg, I worry about this team a little bit defensively. They had a struggle on their hands last night against USC, yet they found a way to get a victory.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the first couple minutes, they were actually playing some really good defense, but then it seemed to all fade away towards the end of the first half and into the second half. This is a team that's been very inconsistent on defense. We saw when they went to the 2-3 zone against Arizona in that second half, they were actually playing some very good defense, but, I mean, in the first half, they just couldn't stop them to save their lives. So this is a very inconsistent team on the defensive end, and offensively, like you said, Lonzo Ball is so special. He's able to get the ball to just about everyone. There are so many knockdown shooters on this team with Bryce Alford, Isaac Holiday, all those guys. So they're fine on the offensive end. But the question is, can they play enough defense to be able to overcome a cold shooting night if it comes up?
I don't know if they can against Arizona. Arizona's a different beast than USC, and that's going to be the same regardless who they go toe-to-toe with if they are fortunate enough to get past Arizona. Let's say they do, and they take on Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. There's no room for sluggish defensive performances the rest of the way in this Pac-12 tournament for UCLA. And again, a lot of the experts aren't as high on them as some of the writers. And what I mean by that is you'll see UCLA pointed anywhere on a bracket from a 1 all the way down to a 3 seed. They need a couple of impressive performances the next two nights.
I do agree with you. I mean, right now they're my top number 3 overall seed. If they win tonight, they're going to rise up to a 2 seed. But I mean, their non-conference strength of schedule, somewhere in the 260s right now. So they didn't play a whole heck of a lot of competition out of conference. I mean, the Texas A&M win did look nice, but Texas A&M wound up to be a little bit of a fraud themselves. And the win at Kentucky is so impressive, don't get me wrong. But outside of that, who did they play? Portland, Cal State Northridge, Nebraska? Not necessarily monsters of the Midway in that.
Now, UCLA and Arizona, they beat each other on the opposing court. Arizona won 96-85 at UCLA back on January 21st. Probably their best win of the season so far. UCLA got revenge with a 77-72 win over Arizona at the McKay Center back in late February. I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head. But when you look at this matchup on paper, how excited are you for it tonight?
I'm very excited. I mean, you got the UCLA versus Arizona game, and then you've got Oregon versus Cal. I mean, you just said it. The last time these two teams played, Dylan Brooks needed a buzzer three in order to knock off Cal. So, I mean, it was a real stunner. The first time these two teams met, Dylan Brooks, I believe, got injured in that game, and they still won the game by a wide margin. Oregon was just shooting the lights out from three. But in the second matchup, I mean, Oregon, I think, had 16 points at the half. So it'll be very interesting to see how this one plays out because Cal needs this one for their NCAA tournament lives. They do not have, like, any quality wins on their resume whatsoever. Their RPI is hovering just below 50, so they need this win in the worst way possible.
Okay, you and I were talking about a month ago, and I asked you how many teams you thought would get into the NCAA tournament out of the Pac-12. We knew Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA were all locks. There was really, at that particular time, a conversation of could they really get six teams in? I mean, was it possible to get Utah, Cal, and USC in? The way it's shaping up right now, they may only get 3 to 4 teams in this tournament, Greg.
Yeah, right now I think that USC is a lock. I think that they're not a lock by much, but I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament. Now, the kicker is, what does Cal do? Because I just don't see Utah making the NCAA tournament. I'm sorry. I think they're an NIT team. But if Cal can get a big win tonight, they'll probably put their RPI towards the 40 range. That will also put on their signature win as well. And you know the committee is watching these conference tournament games. So that would be absolutely huge for them. Right now, as I have it right now, the Pac-12 is getting in four teams. It might be five, but right now, I just don't have faith that Cal is going to pull it out tonight.
Again, our guest right now is Greg Peterson. Works with 750 The Game out of Portland, Oregon, covering the NCAA tournament. Outside of the Pac-12, what seems to be the most interesting conference tournament in your eyes, Greg?
It's got to be the Big 12 tournament. I mean, Kansas State had been a flaming garbage can towards the end of the year, but all of a sudden, they knock off Baylor, and lo and behold, they're in the Big 12 semifinal, and they've got a chance to make a run at the NCAA tournament. And how about TCU knocking off Kansas? I mean, I think that TCU has to win the whole shebang to make the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, Kansas getting knocked out early in the Big 12 tournament after they won their 13th straight conference title. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue there out there in the middle of the country.
I want to talk about the Big Ten for a minute. How bad is Big Ten basketball this year?
It's not necessarily terrible, but there is no real team where you can hang your head and say this is a Final Four team. I mean, we saw Purdue lose to Michigan in overtime today. And Wisconsin is not the same team that they have been in the past couple of years. Certainly a far cry from the Final Four team that they were 2 and 3 years ago. I mean, Maryland, nice team, probably going to be a 7 seed, something like that. So, I mean, the Big Ten has depth, but they don't really have that dominant team where you can say, yes, this is a Final Four contender.
We can talk about the Big East here for a moment, and I guess really the only reason to talk about the Big East is to talk about Villanova, right? Is there any other reason why we should be talking Big East basketball?
Hey, Butler is actually not a bad team. I could see them getting a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. You take a look at two of the teams in there, they do have injuries. I mean, Creighton has been derailed by the Mo Watson injury. Xavier, the injuries to both Trayvon Blewett, who should be back for the NCAA tournament, and also the injury to Edmund Sumner, who's out with a torn ACL. Both those guys are probably going to be playing in the NBA, especially Sumner. But you take a look at Marquette. They could be a sneaky team. You also take a look at Providence. I like them, even though both teams lost in the first round of the Big East tournament. I do think that this conference can get 6 or 7 teams into the field. Problem is, Villanova is really the only force in the NCAA tournament.
Right, exactly. I mean, Butler suffered a loss to Xavier. Providence falling to Creighton already in the conference championship tournament. Seton Hall and Marquette. I mean, if you go through it 1 through 7, I just don't know how many legitimate contenders actually come from this conference. You bring up Butler, and maybe they're the one team that could be a dark horse on somebody's bracket.
Oh, certainly. Butler actually knocked off Villanova twice this year. This is a very good Butler team. Problem is, they played out to their competition. They lost to a team in the Indiana State Sycamores that I believe went 5-13 in the Missouri Valley Conference this year. They also lost to St. John's. They had a close call with DePaul going to overtime there. So this is a Butler team that can beat anyone on any given night. They can also lose to anyone on any given night. So they're a real wild card in this year's bracket.
Obviously, if we talk college basketball and conference championship tournaments, we have to talk about the ACC. Outside of the Pac-12, this is probably the conference that I personally follow closest. And you look at it front to back right now, we got a great matchup tonight with Notre Dame and Florida State. I'm really looking forward to that one. On top of that, we get UNC Duke. So, I mean, again, two high-profile matchups in the ACC.
Yes, certainly. You can't get any better than North Carolina versus Duke. I mean, it's the blue blood rivalry of college basketball, and both these teams won on each other's court earlier this year. So, I'm looking forward to the rubber match in this one. Then you got a Florida State team that really has not played well on the road / at neutral courts this year. I mean, I recall they lost to Temple in the preseason NIT, but they seem to be putting it together at the right time, knocking off Virginia Tech yesterday. And now you take a look at a Notre Dame team that's very sneaky. They've got a player, or a Karl Malone Watch Player of the Year for the best forward in the nation in the form of Bonzi Colson. And this is a very balanced team that made the Elite Eight each of the last 2 years. So I think we've got two really good matchups on our hands. And all four of these teams are going to be very highly seeded on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, they've gone to the Elite Eight the last 2 years, but they don't have a Demetrius Jackson or a Jerian Grant this time. I mean, is that a big difference for Notre Dame moving forward? Is that something to be wary of looking at their backcourt?
I mean, it is something to take a look at, but they do have Sean Pastoria. He's a very good guard for this team. So I think that they're going to be just fine. Maybe not Big East, or I should say Elite Eight fine, But at the same time, I think that they could certainly make a run to at least the Sweet 16.
Greg Peterson, again, our guest right now. Greg, before I let you go, I need you to go ahead and let the listeners know where they can find more of your work. Again, this time of the year, you're an extremely busy guy, but you are the follow on Twitter for College Hoops. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, sir. I am doing a little bit of everything, and you can follow me on Twitter at GUnit_81. I let you know whenever I'm doing a radio spot, just like I'm doing with you right now. And I'm also keeping track of just about every game from the WAC to the Pac-12, the ACC. I cover it all. And you can also find my work on 102.9thegame.com. That is 102.9thegame.com. We had a little bit of a switch over to our FM station. So I post all my bracketology there. I also post some articles on things like the coaches I think are going to get fired this offseason. And right now, I already called four of them, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Someone else's misery is your joy at this point in time. You pegged it correctly.
Exactly.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much for taking out the time. Hopefully, we can get you on again following Selection Sunday.
Happy to be on. Thank you so much, Jordan.
We're going to break just again. When we come up, we're going to be joined by David Reagan live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports. Back in just a moment.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And to this final segment, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to bring in David Reagan, driver of the number 38 Ford Fusion for Front Row Motorsports, and he's joining us right now in the media room. David, I appreciate you making time for us, taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We're got a little bit of downtime between practice and qualifying, and here at Las Vegas, it's always a fast Friday for sure. The track has a lot of grip, and even though they keep taking a little downforce away from us each and every year, the speeds are always pretty high on Friday.
Do you look forward to this Vegas trip each year? I mean, I know you guys travel all over the place. Obviously, Vegas has a little bit of luster to it, right?
Yeah, it's fun to come to Las Vegas. Obviously, when I was a 21, 22, 23-year-old, it was a big deal for me to come. And, you know, you gamble, you get to see some, you know, neat things that you don't get to see at every stop on the NASCAR circuit. And you stay in some great places, eat at some great restaurants. And, you know, the city is a lot of fun to hang out and enjoy your downtime before you get to the racetrack. But since they reconfigured the track, the Neon Garage, it's a neat experience for our whole industry. You know, we enjoy coming to tracks that cater to the fans, that have a good turnout, and this track's one of the best that they pack the seats. They have a lot of access to the fans where they can see what we're doing, see what we're working on. So, yeah, it's definitely one of our top five or six venues of the year.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, do you have a particular track that you look forward to, maybe that you circle on your calendar going into the racing season?
You know, I like tracks for a lot of different reasons. I enjoy Martinsville as much as any track just because it's got an old school feel. I like the short track. I like the racing there. Now, there's not much to do, not much to eat, but it's a short drive up from Charlotte. My family can go. So I do like tracks for reasons like that, but I do enjoy going to Phoenix and Vegas. The weather's nice. It's a lot of fun stuff to do outside the racetrack, some hiking, some good restaurants. But you find something fun to do at all the racetracks over the years. Even the track that you don't like the most, you find that neat thing to do on a Saturday afternoon when all the racing activities are done for the day, or you know, you might have a good airport that's easy to get in and easy to get out of. So you find some of those things that are unique. But as far as a racing track and surface, Vegas is a good track. I wouldn't say it's one of the best tracks just because we need the asphalt to age a little bit more, and where we can get and run that third groove, and Goodyear can bring a little bit more aggressive tire to where we lose some grip throughout a run. So as far as the track surface, I think there's still some improvements or over time that will help that. But everything else about the race in Vegas and what Bruton Smith and the Speedway Motorsports Group does, it's a fun stop.
You've had 10 career starts here at Las Vegas. What are some of the difficulties that a driver will encounter on this this intermediate track, I guess is what they consider it?
Yeah, track position is so important here because of the few things I talked about earlier. It is difficult to pass. You don't have that third lane that you can move up and really create a lot of momentum and make passing easier. So a lot of the cars are forced to run the middle two lanes, you know, lane and a half. The bottom is the preferred lane around Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So it is tough to pass. Track position is important. You got some bumps getting into turn one, which the guy who wins the race, he'll be able to get over those bumps and get to the bottom, keep up his corner speed very good. And the guys that run, you know, 30th or 25th or struggle, they're going to be bouncing and moving around. And so that's a real important part of the racetrack, getting through turns one and two. And then on exit of turn four, it always seems to lose grip, and you see some accidents there. It kind of narrows up where you exit turn four and the front straightaway starts. So, yeah, there's a few little trouble spots that you'll see some action at on Sunday. But Vegas is it's a fast track. It still has a lot of grip from the repave a few years ago, and it always puts on a good show.
Again, our guest right now is David Ragan, driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports car. Of course, you'll be able to listen to live NASCAR coverage this Sunday here on KOAL. 12:30, it's Cobalt 400. So, David, Front Row Motorsports, you're back. I mean, you left, now you're back at Front Row Motorsports. What's that transition been like for you?
It's been really easy. It goes back to when you're a young guy or anyone that's listening out there and your parents tell you don't burn a bridge. That's the truth. They need to listen to that comment because I was at Front Row Motorsports for 3 years, had a great relationship with Bob Jenkins and Jerry Freeze and the competition staff, and so I left to go fill in for Kyle Busch and ended up racing a Toyota for two seasons, and then found myself back at Front Row. A lot of familiar faces, Bob Jenkins and Brad and his family. They've been very good friends even throughout the transition when I wasn't racing for them. So it was a lot of fun to get back and see a lot of the guys that were still working at the shop. And I think that the Front Row team has done a great job getting the race cars a little bit faster. They've got a very good agreement with Roush Fenway Racing to get some parts and pieces and some engineering support from. And then we've had a very good first part of the year, having some new partners and sponsorship announcements on our Fords of mine and Landon's car. And so we're in a good position at Front Row Motorsports with Juice batteries on our car. This weekend at Las Vegas, we've got Camping World and Good Sam on our car for a lot of races this year, along with Jacob Companies and some of the great sponsors that they've had. So, yeah, overall, it was an easy transition back in a place that I feel comfortable with and, you know, proud to be there trying to make a difference and make the team better.
You mentioned Landon Castle. What kind of relationship do you have with your teammate?
Yeah, Landon's a great racer. I think he's very smart. He's intelligent. We've been around the garage for a long time. We're similar age, a similar background. We grew up racing late model style cars on the asphalt short tracks around the country. So I've got a lot of respect for Landon. And we don't really, I'd say we don't hang out a whole lot outside of the racetrack. And I think that being a teammate, some of that will change. And it'll give us an opportunity to get to know each other's family some and spend some more time with each other. So often you see a lot of guys in the garage for years and years, but you don't really get to know them until you've got a similar interest or something that makes you spend time with each other. But Landon's, I think he's a talented race car driver. I think he and I are going to work well together, and we already have. Kind of lean on each other at different times and help the Fords at Front Row Motorsports be faster.
You also mentioned Juice batteries. You guys had an exciting announcement out just a few moments ago. It's been a great year for you sponsorship-wise, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been able to sign some new partners to Front Row, like I mentioned before, and then they've got CSX and Love's Travel Stops, some of the partners that have been there for multiple seasons back and that continue to make their programs bigger and better. So that's a great thing about the sport. Bob Jenkins has made an investment year after year to keep growing his team, but we've had some good partners and sponsors that have recognized that and have been able to grow along with us. So the addition of Juice batteries for multiple races this year on the 38, it's a new brand. They're going to be in some retail outlets around the country with some rechargeable AA, AAA batteries that the technology in the battery world hasn't evolved like the technology in the electronics world. So they did a nice hybrid battery that lasts a long time, that's rechargeable, that we can use in a lot of our devices that require a AA or AAA battery. So they're an exciting new brand that we can use at Front Row Motorsports as we're racing, and that the fans can get a chance to see firsthand, and they can leverage their NASCAR relationship to get in the door of some retailers around the country. So yeah, we've got a good fit, and we're very blessed to have a lot of races that are already sold on our car.
A couple of more questions for you if you got the time.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to know David Reagan outside of racing. So what's it like if it's off season, you got a weekend free, what's David Reagan doing?
You know, before kids, we would pack up and go travel somewhere. My wife and I have been together for a long time. We dated for several years before we got married, and so we enjoyed to travel. When she got out of college, she worked some part-time, so it allowed us to go and do a lot of fun stuff over the off-season. And our off-seasons are so short. We raced from Valentine's Day to Thanksgiving, and so we only have a couple of months that we can go and do some things. But even during that time, we've got other obligations with NASCAR, maybe some of the TV partners, some of the media outlets and different things. So now we've got two little girls and two little kids at the house. So usually whatever they want to do, we stay home a lot because it is fun to just stay home. But yeah, as they get a little older, we'll go do some trips and vacations. I live in Charlotte. My family's in Georgia. My wife's family's in South Carolina. So we stay in the Southeast, visit some family, and just kind of stay low key over the off season.
If I was to pick up your iPod, what would I find on it?
Well, I don't think I even have an iPod anymore.
Me
so,
neither. You and me are probably the only two in the world that don't.
I think that some of my songs, you get lost. Some are on my computer. Some are on my phone. But I'm not a big music guy. I'm kind of a 90s and 2000s country guy.
Okay.
I don't really like some of the new pop country. I like more of the, you know, older school, not like, you know, 70s and 80s country, but, you know, your Alan Jackson and Diamond Rio and, you know, some of the older 1990s when I was a teenager. So, I'm kind of boring, man. I listen to podcasts and, like, talk radio a lot more than I do music.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
No, I'm quite fond of talk radio.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing for you.
As far as maybe an influence in David Reagan's career, I mean, was there a driver or a particular person in this sport that you kind of looked up to as a kid that you kind of used that as inspiration to get to where you're at today?
I was a big Dale Jarrett fan and a Bill Elliott fan, being from Georgia. Bill Elliott was winning a lot of races in the 90s and even early 2000s, and so I was a big Bill Elliott and a Dale Jarrett fan. But I didn't really get to know those guys any until I started racing some. But my father was a racer. He owned an automotive repair shop and a parts store. So I kind of grew up being a hands-on guy around the race shop and going to the racetrack some with him. So I'd say he's definitely the biggest motivation and someone that I could lean on as a teenager and as a young guy trying to make it in the world of stock car racing, because he had some experience. He was a good motivator. He's a hard worker. He's a very smart guy. So definitely my father was someone that I could lean on as I was trying to get into the world of NASCAR racing.
We'll end with this. 25th at Daytona, 23rd at Atlanta. What's it going to take to log a top 10 finish here at Las Vegas on Sunday?
We've got to have a good car, but really just a perfect day. I think those two races, Atlanta and Daytona, we had opportunities to run in the top 10 at Daytona. We had the opportunities to run in the top 15, maybe 18 in Atlanta. And so just a few small mistakes on our behalf, calling the race a little bit better. We need to make better adjustments throughout the race. These 400 and 500 mile races, the track changes a lot. The track changes from Friday to Saturday to Sunday. And so working with Derek Finley for the first time in a few years, Derek has been a competition director. He hasn't been calling races the last couple of seasons, so I think he needs to get a little more comfortable. Our pit crew's been doing a nice job, but we can just kind of clean up our act a little bit. I think that the competition level in the Monster Energy Cup Series is so difficult that you've got to have an excellent day just to run in the top 10, and it's got to be almost perfect to have an opportunity to win. So if you have any mistakes like Kevin Harvick did last week, speeding on pit road, or some of the guys that have a mistake, you're in 25th before you know it. So it's extremely tough to run in the top 20, and we've got to make sure that we are smart with our race car on Saturday night and Sunday. I can't make any mistakes, and you just have to be flawless, because the competition is so difficult. If you make a mistake, they're going to be right there to jump on you.
David, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come and join us. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck over the weekend. I know it's not just Sunday for
That's
you guys.
Right.
I mean,
That's
the spectators
right.
may see it as that, but I mean, it's a full weekend for
yep.
you.
Yeah, we're glad to be here. We appreciate all the fans listening and coming out to the racetrack. Like I said, Las Vegas is one of the premier stops on our circuit because of the fan engagement, a lot of the energy, not only in the city and on the strip, but out here at the racetrack. So we enjoy coming out, and thank you guys for having us, and we'll see some of you on Saturday and Sunday.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, that's David Reagan driving the number 38 Ford Fusion for Front Row Motorsports. And with that, we're coming up on the end of Drive Time Sports. Again, live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I look forward to this show once a year. It's always a great time. Got to thank Bubba Wallace, David Reagan, and Greg Peterson for being a part of the show. You will be able to listen to the archive version of today's show at CastleCountryRadio.com here in just a moment, and I will be back on Monday, same time, same place. Also, remember to catch the Cobalt 400. It'll be live Sunday. Live action will begin at 12:30 p.m. I'm Jordan Buscarini signing off. I will catch you Monday. I am out.